Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines, and this week we're talking about a big sportswear company that's not maybe as well known in the United States, and that is Puma, and they're going after Nike and Adidas in a pretty big way with a new deal, and then we're going to touch on and end with some sports betting updates because that's always a fun topic to touch on as this sports betting kind of like marijuana slowly grows across the United States. But before we do that, I want to say remember if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com. So as I mentioned, we're starting by taking a look at the German sportswear company Puma. In what is reported to be a record-breaking partnership with Manchester City, who is a big European soccer club. They won the English Premier League last season and are fighting to win it again right now. They opened up Monday 1 point up on second place Liverpool. So that's just a standing of, it's a big club. And the deal, which was announced last Thursday, is reportedly worth $86 million a year over a 10-year period. So for around $860 million over the next decade. Nothing was officially said by either Manchester City or Puma. So this is based on reports from ESPN as well as some other sources. And the deal itself begins in the 2019-2020 season. So basically for these European soccer clubs, it'll be this summer once the current season's over. And Puma is taking over one of the biggest teams in the world from Nike. So there, Nike didn't renew its deal, or maybe Puma outbid a deal that Nike wasn't willing to go above. And this comes after Puma lost what is arguably their biggest team before this, London-based Arsenal, to Adidas starting next season. So they lost one big club in London and gained Manchester City in the process over the season. So as I mentioned, Arsenal announced back in October that they were signing with Adidas for a 5-year deal that's worth reportedly £300 million. And so then in terms of the Puma partnership with Manchester City, this is a quote from the CEO, which is Bjorn Gluden. Puma's partnership with City Football Group is the largest deal that we've ever done, both in scope and ambition. And we want to maximize our on-field performance as well as soccer culture in areas such as music, gaming, and fashion to connect and inspire the fan base of each team. So he mentioned in that quote City Football Group and didn't say Manchester City because, interestingly enough, this team is actually owned by a huge group. It's out of Abu Dhabi, and it's called the Abu Dhabi United Group. They own 87% of City Football Group, which the other 13% is owned by a Chinese company called China Media Capital. And they own clubs all over the world, and they've been doing this over the last about 5 years or so, buying up clubs all over the world, as I said. So in mid-February, they announced that they added their 7th soccer team, and this is a Chinese club. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name. So it's a second-tier Chinese club, and this is coming at a time when the Chinese Super League is spending millions of dollars to attract some giant players from that are playing in Europe at the end of their career, kind of like Major League Soccer is doing here in the United States, where they're spending a bunch of money to get these big, huge names that are maybe not good enough to play anymore, at, say, in the Premier League. But China's really trying to grow their base, so that could be a huge early purchase for this second-tier club from this group. They also own, obviously, Manchester City, Melbourne City in Australia, and then a few other clubs. And they also own a team in Major League Soccer that's actually the only team that's not a part of this deal, and that is New York City FC. And that's because all of Major League Soccer has a partnership with Adidas. So that's interesting there. And then on top of that, the clubs on the youth level and then the women's teams that Manchester City owns will also be sporting Puma over the next decade. And so now we're going to talk a little bit about how this deal stacks up and why it matters so much to Puma and then this larger scope of Nike and Adidas and even Under Armour in this global sportswear market. So in 2014, Adidas offered more than $100 million a year to Manchester United to take over their sponsorship from Nike. And Manchester United is arguably the most well-known team in the world. It's also a publicly traded company, for those of you that didn't know that. It trades under Man U, so just M-A-N-U. So that's currently the biggest deal in the world. And it also, this partnership between Puma and Manchester City is coming at a time when some of the biggest teams in England have turned over their partnerships with other sportswear companies, kind of outbidding each other to get to what they see to be the prime targets in the Premier League. So you had Chelsea, Tottenham, Arsenal, as we mentioned, Leicester City, all changing over their sponsorships within the last couple seasons. So the deal that Manchester City and Puma made sees it move into, even though this is all based on reports, the third most lucrative kit deal in all of soccer. This is behind Barcelona, who's with Nike, so that's FC Barcelona in Spain, and then Manchester United, as I mentioned, with Adidas. This is coming at a time when Puma is really trying to jump back into sports, and Manchester City is a team that over the last 5 years has, the new ownership group has spent billions of dollars. They're buying some of the biggest players in the world, and they've, in a relatively short amount of time, gone from an underperforming team to one of the most well-known and best teams in all of European soccer. And this is also coming at a time when these big sportswear companies are fighting for their logo to be on teams, not just in soccer, but here in the United States, sports fans will know. Nike has spent $1 billion for 8-year period to sponsor the NBA. They're seeing the NBA kind of as the next big, huge global sport akin to soccer. They pushed out these logos now on 29 out of the 30 teams, where that's very similar to European soccer, where there's logos on every shirt. Those have done very well for the sponsorships companies, and you could see that being even bigger here, maybe in the U.S., in terms of getting some more sponsorship ads on teams that are not in the NBA. Then you also have Nike sponsoring the NFL. They're soon going to be sponsoring Major League Baseball, which they jumped in on after Under Armour backed out of its deal. Whereas then in European soccer, it's kind of on a free-for-all basis. There's no league-wide sponsorships. And then also in college sports level, we know that some college teams have even gotten in trouble with the NCAA because company such as Adidas, who's been caught up in a scandal over the last year, is spending millions of dollars in some cases to try to lure players to individual schools. So yeah, this larger group of Adidas, Nike, and Under Armour are all competing on the collegiate level, and you could maybe see Puma jump into that group within the next couple years or so, because they've jumped into the NBA as well over this past season. And this comes after they were spun off from the French luxury conglomerate Kering, which owns Gucci, Yves Saint Laurent, Alexander McQueen, and some other big notable high-end fashion companies. So they spun off their controlling stake in the German sportswear maker last year. And the move prompted Puma to return to the mid-cap index in Germany last June on the DAX exchange. Over the last year, so Puma reported a 12% rise in revenue to $5.4 billion in 2018, and its net earnings climbed 37%. So the company is doing pretty well. And as I mentioned, they jumped back into basketball for the first time in almost 20 years. They sponsored the top two picks in the NBA draft in 2018. They recently just became an official marketing partner with the NBA last month, so they'll be able to sell Puma-branded NBA gear, which is a pretty big deal, seeing as that they already have a partnership with Nike on a league-wide basis. They've also signed some actual NBA veterans, including DeMarcus Cousins, who plays for maybe the biggest team in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors. So they're really trying to push out this sportswear on the actual playing side, and then also this athleisure and real sportswear side that we've talked about a lot in this show. So Puma like Nike and Adidas has been able to penetrate the popular culture side, which is what the CEO mentioned, why even this deal with Manchester City is part of it. So through music and celebrities, and Puma really does have, it might not, as I said, sound like the biggest company to many Americans, but they also, they sponsor some of the biggest soccer players. They're now sponsoring some big NBA names. They also have some big names in music and fashion. Selena Gomez is a part of that Puma brand, which, as I mentioned on the show, it sounds silly to talk about Instagram for some people who might not understand the impact, but she has over 140 million followers alone just on Facebook's Instagram platform, which is growing more and more and more. And this is also really important, not just in the sense of brand building and consumer awareness, that people are now actually, you can buy stuff right from your Instagram account. And this mobile shopping experience is only going to become more important going forward. For instance, mobile accounted for over 50% of Nike's digital commerce revenue last quarter. And Nike's CFO expects the company's digital division alone to make up 30% of their overall business by 2023. So within 4 years, they're going to, the CFO expects digital overall to make up 30% of total business, up from 15% right now. So really that mobile buying and mobile is really going to be huge going forward. So these platforms such as Instagram and Twitter are really important. And in terms of reach as a brand itself, Puma has 9.2 million followers. And this is just to give people kind of a sense on a global scale of how big these companies are, because even some of the revenue numbers aren't necessarily as relevant. So 9.2 there on Instagram for Puma, but then Nike is far and away the biggest at 85.4 million. So Puma is closer to, say, Under Armour, where they're actually way bigger than Under Armour in terms of scale. So Under Armour is just under 7 million, where Adidas is at 23. So in terms of those four big sportswear companies that most Americans and even international folks will know, is Nike's number one, Adidas is number two on Instagram, Puma's number three, Under Armour's number four, and that's almost kind of even how their revenue numbers break out. But in terms of Puma's growth, as I mentioned, they're jumping headfirst in these real big sponsorship deals on the court, on the pitch, and they're also able to expand with sportswear, and they have some really on-trend things, which matters a lot in terms of retail. And this obviously ebbs and flows, but your company needs to be able to get on trend quickly. At the moment, it's kind of this retro 80s trend for footwear, which Puma has been able to successfully roll out, where, as I've mentioned before, Under Armour has had less success. So Puma is a company you could easily see maybe coming to a market in the United States in terms of the stock market in the next few years or so, as they push forward as this huge, huge international sportswear brand. So I thought that talking about this Manchester City partnership as a whole kind of encompasses what they're doing in terms of their global expansion. So that does it for that part. And then I want to just quickly close with some sports betting updates. It won't be long at all, but I think it's fun to continue to watch this. As I mentioned, sports betting is slowly going to be legalized on a state-by-state basis. So ESPN, as they try to roll out with Disney their streaming push, even Bob Iger, the CEO, was asked on their last earnings call what ESPN is going to do in terms of sports betting. He was a little vague. Maybe that's because they already are now announced, they announced this past Friday that they're going to roll out a daily sports betting show where it's focusing just on just sports betting. It's going to be an hour-long show every day. It's launching Monday, March 11th, so a week from now. It's called Daily Wager. It's going to be, as I said, a one-hour program. It airs Monday through Fridays on ESPN News at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's also going to be live streaming on the ESPN app. It's hosted by Doug Kazarian, who's affiliated right now with ESPN through kind of a sports betting lens. It's also going to have some other ESPN betting analysts who are covering sports betting, just in the broadest sense. From what we know now, the show's not out yet. I read the press release and some other reports about it. It's not going to be super inside baseball. I think they're trying to make it accessible to the casual fan to understand, at least for now. I mean, obviously, there could be some segments where if you don't know anything about sports betting, it might be a little bit over your head. But you can see that ESPN is trying to get in on this sports betting wave as it's legalized slowly throughout the country. So this is something to definitely pay attention to, especially as Disney and ESPN focus on their digital brand and their streaming brands as well. And this also comes as rivals like Fox Sports 1, they already have a sports gambling show that's been out for some time now called Locked In. And then you have a company like the Action Network, which is completely focused on sports betting only. They've actually they've gotten some talent from ESPN, some relatively big names over the last few years to kind of head up that Action Network brand. So the sports betting is certainly going to be a big part of the whole sports ecosystem going forward. And we should remember that MGM now has deals with the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, where Caesars signed a partnership with the NFL. And then I want to quickly just end with a little bit of numbers just for reference for fans out there or people who are interested in the sports betting scene, just in terms of the scope of how much money is actually being wagered. So for the January numbers just came out at the end of last week from the Nevada Gaming Control Board. So nearly $500 million was bet on sports in Nevada in January. That's up almost 19% from last January. So $500 million right there. But then in New Jersey, which was one of the first huge big states to legalize sports betting, they were the state to push forward on this state-by-state legalization. They saw January betting come in at $385 million, which is pretty impressive for a state that really just legalized this recently. So they're almost getting up there to those Nevada numbers where it's been in place for years and years. And funny thing here, New Jersey actually, the state itself brought in more money than Nevada for the first time, but those are some technical things going on there that I don't really want to bore my audience, because I don't necessarily exactly know all about this sports betting landscape in terms of I'm not really a bettor myself, so some of that's a little complicated. But that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.